This is Doug Miller. What's your calling? What's your gift? Do you have talent? Or are you saying, there's nothing much I can do? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublitz. This is Doug Miller, and the program is Dialogue. We are delighted to be back with you again. Always a great joy and a great pleasure to be able to open up the Word of God and to speak into this mic and know that it is going out virtually to the ends of the earth. You know what God said about His Word? It will not return unto me void, and it won't. And he also said, cast thy bread upon the waters, and in not many days it will return unto thee. In another place, blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the ox and the ass. That's in the 32nd chapter of Isaiah. And it is true. And we're here to cast our bread upon the waters and to send it out. And the wonderful thing about it is that the results have it's nothing I have to worry about. I don't have to wonder what's going to happen at all. God has made promises about what he will do with his word, and he will keep those promises just as surely as he will keep all of his promises. We are in the 6th chapter of Acts today, just starting a new chapter, and it is profitable. This book of Acts is, I love it. It has got so much in it, and it's just rich. And so bring your Bibles, come along, chapter 6 of Acts. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. You, after all, the people who listen to us are the only advertising we have. You're the only ones we're going to have. And we are utterly and absolutely dependent on you for your prayers, for your support. Please pray for Dialogue. And we would love to hear from you. Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. We would love to answer any questions you have, provide any help to you that we can provide. So let us hear from you. You can also email us if you prefer to go that route. Dialogue Ministries, all one word, at sbcglobal.net. Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. And, of course, you can go on our webpage. That's also Dialogue Ministries, all one word, .org. And you can go in there and pull down our programs and listen to them to your heart's content. And we've got it up there for this very purpose. Okay, 6th chapter of Acts. And here we've got this is an important one. And let me tell you why this is so important. Well, let's just get into it and you'll see why it's important. Okay, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. All right. Now let's see what we've got here. In these days, of course, God was doing something that he's not doing right now. He was operating a little differently among these Jewish believers. And I say that because anyone can read the early chapters of the book of Acts and tell that they were living in a sort of socialistic, communal way. That's easy to see. We saw it earlier when we were looking at Ananias and Sapphira and at Barnabas and others. These people had sold all that they had and given it to the apostles, and now they were living communally. And there were a bunch of them anymore right now. You look at the early chapters, and we saw thousands at a time being saved and their families. And so they've got quite a community here that is dependent on, really, for their sustenance, what these apostles had and were doling out. Now, if there are always individuals who wish to lift these verses out of context and say, see, that's God's way. It's communism or socialism. No, it is not. God was doing something quite differently at that time because he knew very well that that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed, utterly destroyed in 70 AD. And isn't it wonderful when you look back at this time that he moved the people to do this? They had gotten rid of all of their property, and a few chapters later we're going to see they were run out of Jerusalem. And when Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD, the Christians were gone out of there. Now, I tell you what, that's how God takes care of his people. And if you want to bring that up to the present day, we are living in dire and dreadful times, very frightening times, and God is still going to take care of his people. Because when the great tribulation breaks out, and I'm persuaded it's not too far in the future, there'll be no Christians here to go through that. We will have been taken out of here long since, in what is known among Christians as the rapturing of the church. But I digress a bit. Just wanted to point that out to you. We've got a problem here in this early situation. There were Hebrews and there were Grecians. Now, all of these are Jews. A group of them, the Hebrews, these were the Hebrew-speaking and Aramaic-speaking Christians who lived and were native to Jerusalem and these areas. And then the Grecians were these Greek-speaking Jews out of the diaspora. And they had come in, and they were living in Jerusalem as they'd kind of, as believers, they had all kind of gravitated back toward here. But they were quite different in their, you know, as the way they looked at one another. And I have no doubt that the Hebrews here kind of looked down their noses at these Jews out of the diaspora, out of the dispersion. Here were Greek-speaking people. They couldn't even speak Hebrew. And they probably were just kind of looked down upon. And they certainly felt that they were. They said, you know, our widows are being neglected here. The Hebrews are, you know, they're getting all of the food and the goods, and we have women here who are widows who are not being taken care of. Okay, there's your problem, 12 apostles. What are you going to do about it? And the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason, or it is not reasonable or right, that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. All right. Now, Peter is not being arrogant here. Peter is recognizing something that's very important to recognize. The apostles at this time were the main teachers in Christendom. Christendom at this time was centered right in Jerusalem. And here were the men who had the knowledge. These are the ones that had lived with the Lord for 3 years, had been taught directly by him. And here were the ones who spent their time reading in the Word of God, studying the Word of God, preaching and teaching the people. They were the ones who spent a lot of time in prayer. And, you know, you're coming to us, Peter, with this problem. Peter recognized it as a problem, as we shall see. But he said, we are not the ones to solve this by taking a direct hand. We cannot leave the Word of God and our studying and our praying and our time that we spend teaching and preaching to wait tables and to get involved in food distribution. All right. Now, friends, don't look at this for what it is. God has differing gifts in the church, and he has people who do different things. And so, you know, there are those who whose lives are given over to preaching and teaching the Word of God. Praise God for them. Thank God that we have them. We need them. And for those, they need to be doing what they've been called to do, and they cannot be all things to all people. Now, let me just say something about this that will offend some of you. This guy talking to you right now does not and has not for a long, long, long time believed that there is such a thing or ought to be such a thing in the local church as the pastor of the church. You've heard me say this before, and I will say it again. If you know of one thing in this New Testament about the New Testament church that talks about the pastor of the church, I want you to write me and tell me. I want you to write me and tell me. Or you can call me up and tell me. 405-568-5048 is the number there. That's 405-568-5048. Just call me and tell me, because I've missed it. The pastor of the church, if you take one man or woman, put that individual in charge of the church and load him down with all of the responsibilities, it is more than anyone can bear up under. Here he becomes the preacher. He becomes the teacher. He's the evangelist. He's the guy who goes out visiting. He is the one who goes into the hospitals and comforts the sick. If their marriages or funerals, he performs them. It is too much. God's pattern is not the pastor of the church. It is pastors, plural, in a church. And I'm telling you, this is God's word I'm giving you. And for those of you who say, well, I don't believe that, fine, you don't believe it. You show me where I'm wrong on that, and I will recant and repent and say I was wrong on it. But you look at these guys. These apostles, there are 12 of them. And they have all got a part of this ministry of teaching and preaching. And if you read this Bible, you read this New Testament, you will find that there are in the churches deacons and there are elders, and it's always a plurality. And for those of you out there, if I'm talking to the pastor of the church, what are you doing? You're trying to kill yourself? You're trying to kill yourself? You'll work yourself to death. Other people need to be in there bearing this load with you. And that's God's way. And, you know, I beg you, I implore you. Think of what you're doing. All right, enough said about that. Let's go on here. We are not going to leave the preaching and teaching of the word. Now, but we need some people in this outfit, Peter says in so many words, who can get out here and wait tables. Now think about this one. What does it take to be a table waiter? I'm going to go around here, and I'm going to, you know, set the food on the table and dole out the food and so on and so forth. Some of you out there, you're in the church, and maybe you're the guy who mows the lawn at the church. Someone needs to do that. Did you know that? And this is deacon work. Someone needs to take care of the building and do the painting and see to it that their light bulbs put in the light sockets and so on and so forth. That's deacon work, and it needs to be done. It is very important. And there are all kinds of chores and tasks to be done around the church, and someone is doing these things. And those of you who are called into this kind of ministry, I want you to look carefully at what we've got Peter saying here. Look at this. And he says in verse 3 here, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you to a bunch of guys who don't know how to do anything else and are too enfeebled and stupid to do anything else but wait tables." Is that what Peter said? Oh, no. Oh, no. Who is going to wait tables? "Look ye out to 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." What kind of men were they looking for to wait tables, to be table waiters? those who were wise and well-taught and spirit-filled. Does that surprise you? Those of you out there who say, oh, I can't do much. I come in and I mow the lawn and I make sure that the windows are clean and that the roof is patched. And, you know, I kind of work in the flower beds around here. And some of you say, well, when we have a potluck dinner, I'm the one that I kind of get things on the table and all of that. But I'm really not much of anything. The real powerful guy is that guy standing up there preaching and teaching. Don't you delude yourself with that kind of thinking. Look at this. To serve in the local assembly, in this capacity, in the capacity you're talking about, it takes a wise and spirit-filled person. And that's who they were looking for. And Peter says, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Fine, you need to be doing that, Peter. That's what the Lord's called you to do. But I want you to see who these people picked out. They said, that's good advice, Peter, and we're going to do it. So who did they pick out? The very first one named. Look at verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Now, what a group of seven here. The first one named is a man that every one of you, if you don't know this man, I don't know where you've been. The man's name is Stephen, the first martyr, the man whom, and we'll see him really in the rest of this chapter and over into chapter 7. Here was a man who knew the book, and he was powerful. And he so confounded the Jews there in Jerusalem, the unbelieving Jews, that they stoned him. And he is the first one named. Stephen, we want you to wait tables for us because we recognize you as being the kind of guy who can do this and do it right. And do you see Stephen saying, well, wait a minute. I ought to be preaching and teaching. I can preach and teach. I understand the word. I can get out here and debate with these guys. And you want to make me a table waiter? I don't see Stephen saying anything like that. The next one here is Philip. We'll encounter him again. He's the evangelist who goes down, and we see him used of the Lord to convert the Ethiopian eunuch. And we're going to see him again in the book of Acts. I don't see him complaining. Well, I'm an evangelist. I can't be down here waiting. I tell you what, he and these other men, they take this charge up and they do it. Praise the Lord for people like this. I tell you what. And is it any wonder in verse 7 that we see the word of God increasing and the number of disciples multiplying in Jerusalem greatly, and even a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith? We got a bunch of Levites coming in here and believing that Jesus is the Christ who died and was buried and was raised up again. Now, this is wonderful when you see this kind of thing going on. You know, I've been knocking around in this business for a long time. I have seen people in churches more than once who wouldn't even speak to one another. I have seen people remembering the Lord at what is generally called communion. Down where I am, we call it the breaking of bread or the remembrance meeting. I have seen people in breaking bread together, taking the cup together, who wouldn't speak to one another. I have heard all sorts of excuses about why, well, I love brother so-and-so, it's just that I won't talk to him. Well, I love sister so-and-so, but she just, and on it goes. I've never seen a one of these things that really amounted to anything other than the pure, unmitigated flesh. Yeah, they got on my toes. Yeah, they failed to recognize me for the great individual that I am, and for the great contributions I can make and have made. And in this case, imagine, you know, they ask me to wait tables. Why don't they know who and what I am? Listen to me. What we need are less or fewer generals and a few more privates out there. What we need are a few people who are willing to say, I am here to help in any way I can. What do you need? You need the floors scrubbed? I'm your man. You need the walls painted? I'm your man. You want someone to wait tables? I can do that. I can wash dishes, too. That's what we need, and I want to tell you something, and I want you to all listen to me very carefully. When we get to heaven, when we get to the Bema of Christ, and when the rewards are handed out, there are going to be some real surprises, because a lot of individuals who coveted these high positions, who wanted to be very visibly up there and seen and known of men and be the center of attention and all that, you're going to find a lot of them coming away empty at the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to find people that you never dreamed of. Those of you who are laboring away out there for the Lord, don't you imagine for a minute he doesn't know about it. Many of you who are out there praying for dialogue, praying for ministries like this one, and who are in your secret closet praying to God and sustaining by your prayers people out there, missionaries and people out in the Lord's work, and no one even knows about it but you and the Lord. Don't you think that he forgets? And those of you who are rending Christendom apart and tearing up churches because you think that people don't give you your due and won't honor you and so on and so forth the way you ought to be, don't you imagine that the Lord likes what you're doing? He doesn't. Look at these guys. If Stephen can wait tables, do you think I can't wait tables? I sure can. You know, if Stephen and Philip and these other five can be singled out, not because they couldn't do anything else, but because they were gifted, spirit-filled, mature men, if they were singled out and said, here, we've got a job for you, we want you to wait tables, do you think I can't do that? I certainly can. So can you. So can you. Now, I know very well there's not a person listening to me, and the guy speaking to you falls in this category too. There are none of us who at times haven't had our feelings hurt because we didn't think that we were treated with the honor and respect that was our due. We weren't given a high enough place. Brethren, sisters, get over that. That kind of stuff doesn't profit anyone. Take the low place, like Jesus said, and be a servant to all, and God will bless you indeed. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.